Hello. Hi. Thank you for the introduction. Hi, I'm Maria. I'm a compulsive overeater in Sweden. And thanks for inviting me. And I thought I could share a little bit about how it used to be, how it was like, what happened, and how it is right now. And I can start off and say I'm 42 years old. I'm abstinent since 15 of March last year. I came to the program 8 or 9 years ago. I have been runs in my family, sugar addictions and diabetic. My mother's side, they had run a bakery. Overweight and heart disease, and I think that even I did not grow up with my mom, birth mom, but she passed away. She was like 55 years old with a heart disease, but I think it has something to do related to sugar addiction and compulsive overeating for sure. She could not really, she wasn't healthy. I believe it's genetic, definitely. And birth father's family runs alcoholism. And also there has been they're from Finland and they've been in war, like Second World War and stuff. So they have a bunch of trauma inherited through the family. And so I am definitely affected at as well. And I can remember, I mean, as early on that I felt comfort in food, and I also got to know that I can't eat that. I always wanted the last piece. I always wanted more than my share. I always felt it was unfair when other people was eating and I wasn't. And I thought everybody was like me, and also that I also understood that I need to sneak around in order to get the sugar. Especially the sugar as a kid, and always having a little backup, always in going to all the birthday parties. It was also part, but because I knew I was gonna get the sugar, I never really got that it was about the birthday child. It was about family gathering. It was about friendships. It was about relationships. It was always about the sugar. That's the reason I came. And that was like the highlight. And so, I also we have in my I grew up in a foster family, and it is a lot of body obsession, body image. So I got criticized early on for my body, or like this perfectionism and comparing bodies with each other, like with my friends or my sisters or so on. So that it also kind of got this self-absorption and looking in the mirror and measuring my thighs and everything. And so I found a way to control my eating and the weight by exercising, and I was really good at sport growing up. Everything that has to do with a ball. Like I was basketball player, that was my main sport. And I hurt myself a lot, and I was out running in the forest a lot as well. So I had my knees damaged. So I had three surgeries because I never listened to my body. I just kept pushing myself. And also about winning the performance, perfectionism, and to keep the weight off. And have a so that's why I could mask the compulsive overeater. I never really thought it was a big deal because my body weight was looked normal. And then I got together with my boyfriend that I had at the time, 11 years, and I started gaining weight with him, and started to find excuses. And he was a diabetic. From childhood, and I remember binge eating and kind of him binge eating with me, and I remember he got so sick afterwards, and that was not good for him. And I mean, he has his own choice, but I can see that it was a very unhealthy lifestyle, and also drinking a lot. I'm also sober and clean and AA, so it was both. So it really, I don't know, but like when I really understood, it's like when I started off, like they said, and I think a lot of us can relate, like we are expert in diets. We tried every diet, we tried every personal trainer, every exercising, every like, and I was too. I even took a job as a PE teacher. I'm a graphic designer, but I took a job because I used to play basketball. And I was so obsessed with my body, and I couldn't control the weight anymore when I was like 30 plus something, because it got worse with time. So I remember taking a job as a PE teacher because I thought that was gonna help me stay healthy, and give, I know, talking about nutrition with kids and like and try just walking around like in this exit, like workout clothes, thinking I would like get sane and healthy just wearing the clothes and going to the school and teach other people and like and kids in exercise and the sports. So I was absolutely obsessed, and it took some years, and then I was sponsoring a girl through another program, and she was in a food program, and she said there's an, you know, there's sugar addiction. That's like it's an addiction, and you like this is absolutely something you can be powerless over. And because I didn't understand that it's possible to be powerless over, like if I thought I could just control it, I could just set up the food plan, I could just like. But the more I could try to control it, the more insane I got. So it was really about the mental obsession and the insanity that brought me here in the end, because I understood that this is, I'm not really functioning. So she kind of inspired me and helped me to another food program. And but I really needed more, like it wasn't enough, because that was more like intuitive eating, and that never really worked on me. I needed kind of more strict boundaries and like more of a box. I needed like simplified the whole thing. And also because I'm very codependent, I think. So I got into this program where like the No Matter What Club, like you weigh, everybody have the same food plan, and everybody weigh and measure and everything. And so I also understood that because we have food programs, we have OA, we have different food programs here in Sweden. It's just that it's quite light. I would say not light, but for me, it was too light. It was too nice. It was too, you know, sweet, and like, and I'm, I was, I felt like I was, like I need more strict rules. So I got into that, like weigh and measure really strictly, having very, very strict diet for 2 years. But this, they never really talked about the steps. So, and I, but I remember it was good for me in the beginning. I mean, it was enough for me to just cook, plan, go to the grocery stores once a week, because I got so affected every time I went there. It just like affected me so much. To just prepare like the food all the time, think about like preparing. That took a lot of time, and just like, remember to bring the food, like the container with the, like to plan the container, like to bring it to the work, or if I'm not going home right after work, like plan to take the food like with the next, think the whole day. I never thought about the whole day before. And changes, and sometimes I forgot the food at home, and I had to go home and get it and be late for things, and it was, and I didn't eat in a restaurant in 2 years, and just really holding on to the strict rules and the program, and it helped for about 2 years. It worked, but then I start having more rage. I had like I became more of a rageaholic. I start like I couldn't. I got into like arguments, hard time at work. And also isolating a lot, because I thought about like, oh no, I have to stay at home because I have to plan my meals all day. And then after a couple of years, I thought that I was the one who kept me abstinent. And I thought that no one else had anything to do with it. It was all about me, because I was such a good girl and so disciplined, and I had all this self-knowledge and all that. And so I relapsed pretty badly after a couple of years, because I couldn't hold it together. I couldn't breathe. Couldn't be in my skin. It was just so strict. So I went on a vacation, and they had a buffet at the hotel, and Yeah, and that was it. And I kind of got that I'm not really good with a buffet, and I'm still not good with a buffet. It's not, I have to like pretty much stay away from it.
And that's 10 minutes, Maria.
Oh, thank you. And I remember being in the airport in Italy, and I was almost missing my flight because I was trying to get these Italian people getting line so I can get my dessert before I got on the plane, because I got like this coffee place at the airport, and I was like, I was willing to miss my gate because I needed that sugar before I went on the, well, not really sugar, I haven't eaten, but like fruit or whatever, like I was binge eating, I was not really eating sugar, but anyway, binge eating and whatever. And I was trying to get these Italian people in line, and I was really aggressive. And I remember, okay, this is insanity. I need more than just a strict food plan. So I think it was about, so I think it was about that time, or maybe a bit later. I was struggling with different sponsors. I was doing more of the step work in the big book. And I was trying to start sponsoring, but I only did it like this. I was still very strict. This big book way. I mean, it's good for in one way, in the but it's like when it comes down to it, it's a bunch of emotions underneath, and I need a lot of help. So actually, I came back to OA. Well, yeah, I tried OA a long time ago, but I came back to just doing the regular OA, the whole like, not like the vision for you or not the like other stuff, like just going to this regular OA and finding people that are more like have that emotional sobriety, and that like more because we're all different, and having that more compassionate but still a lot of recovery, but as well compassionate recovery, and also that it's a design for living, and I have to eat every day, and I can't be isolating at home just because I'm going to be absent, and I want to be able to travel or go on a date or being with my family and still be able to be okay with the food. So it, the last step work I did was much more profound, and also it was more about having that really trusting higher power, and to find way like to and to see that this program also have that kind of recovery, where yeah, what to say? Yeah, like yeah, more advanced living. What to say? I don't know what to call it. Like more advanced living, and so I that's how I find my last step work, that I went more into, like looking into the character defects that was running the show, and I could see there was a lot of control. There was a lot of like denial that I, because it was too painful to look at, so I didn't want to see some of the denial that I had. And all these kind of, and also making amends to my family. I hadn't talked to them for 9 years, my foster family. I was a master of breaking up with people, like ending it, just like being very prideful. So it really got me more deeper into like stop the self-criticism. I had a lot of negative self-criticism. Looking into that, healing all this stuff, because I noticed that this compulsive or this program is pretty hardcore when it comes to it. And I think I'm because there's so many layers, because I have to deal with it, and I am like I have to deal with myself in the end of the day. So I needed to look at that. I needed to heal that. I need to be in living amends. I had a lot of amends that I hadn't done. I hadn't been dating in many, many years, because I was so afraid of relapsing. And then I had to do an amend to my ex fiance, like the ex-boyfriend I had for 11 years. And even if he didn't want to talk to me, he responded. And I went through the whole process of amend. And also I had a friend, we were best friends growing up, and we had been in a fight 20 years ago. And I was like, this is 20 years ago. Why should I have to go and make an amend to her? and she's living in another country and stuff. But I had to, and she never re she didn't want it, she didn't respond, but I did it, and that's the thing. I did the action. I had like a mother-in-law that I've been super, yeah, it was a really difficult situation. I had to make like an amend to that, not like directly because she wasn't willing, because my ex wasn't willing, so I didn't want to
That's
stay.
sorry, Maria, that's 5 minutes.
Okay, thanks. So the thing is, I noticed that, and also the brutal honesty in step four and step five, like I needed to really look into that. Like I can't be close to a buffet. Is because that was also the latest. Yeah, this is my last, like I have 1 year, 15 of March, I had 1 year, and that was actually based on the buffet stuff. So and also like having lunch maybe once a week, like not having too much takeaway, not having change of plans. I like routines, but it's not like I can go to a restaurant. I can be with my family. I can be with dating. I can express my needs. So I mean, my whole situation is t completely different now, but I have to be honest all the time. And I can also see that if the step to have a thorough step four and five, because if I'm leaving things out, being in denial, then I'm gonna eat again. The amends, looking at all my amends, and I don't have any left. I made all my amends. I even made amend to God. I had a really like difficult relationship with my higher power, so I had made an amend to my higher power. And also when I made the amend to my ex-boyfriend, I started dating completely new types of men after that. So that was very important. And then I also went into trauma therapy in step nine, this last step nine. And like this, I mean, there are many different ways of doing that, but having more help, I understood that this is not it for me. Some people, they're just addicts, they do the steps and they are great. Like I needed to work very, very hard for my recovery. So I understood that I need more help, and I took that help, and that helped my recovery, because after that it felt like this the nine step promises went through. I could really feel the nine step promises after I did that, took that help. But so it's not like I stopped working in the program, but it's more like I feel more like a regular addict right now, like compulsive overeater. So yeah, so I have a sponsee, and I think it's wonderful that we are not only helping when we're sponsoring and helping others, we're not only helping that person, we are helping the whole family around that person. So I have like a, I don't know if she's here today, but I love that she has a husband and her kids, and I'm like her husband is grateful that she has a sponsor and doing the steps, and he tells his appreciation to me as well in the program, you know. So it's really about the families, and they could have a lovely vacation together, and I think that is absolutely great. And also, like, I have a 10-step train. It's like a tool we have. Like, it's not part of OA really, but it's a tool, and that's really helpful because I have a lot of fears. I'm not really that super resentful anymore, but it keeps me humble because I know that it's not my recovery and my abstinence. It's not that much to do with me. It's because of all the help I got, and also my higher power, and that helps me to connect with my higher power more. When I look into the honesty and the fears a lot. And then I have this 11 step inventory as well. So I kind of make two inventories a day, like short ones.
1 minute to go, Maria.
Thank you. And then I have increased my step 11, and I keep it very simple. I'm not really a big fan of meditation and sitting and going on. I don't know, I'm not really a big fan, but I do keep it simple. Like I stop scheduling stuff, like one like I would love like half a day a week, or a day a week, but maybe it's not that often, but like to just have like a little retreat, being at home, not having a big list of to do stuff to do, or don't have any time that I have to have to be at a certain time or so just to like be still. And that is kind of having a retreat for me, and that is deepening my relationship with my higher power, because it usually gives me the faith, and I get intuition back, and I get like thoughts that I haven't thought about before. And so, okay. So thank you for letting me share.